West Denver. Change it. How Denver listens to the radio. This is the new home of Peter Boyles. News Talk 710 KNUS. The voice of the people.
All right, Chuck Bonneville in for Peter Boyles. Peter should be back tomorrow. It's April Fool's Day. It's lots of other things. One of the things we've been talking a lot about, Common Core, a lot about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and how they've sold us all out and how the Republican establishment has sold us all out. And are we just realizing it now, or has it always been there this hideous? And we thought we might as well get the guy who knows something about it, which is Mr. Tom Tancredo. Tom, welcome
Good
to
morning.
Have you on. Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm just doing great. Just doing great on this April Fool's Day. Now, you got your petitions in.
I did.
How many other people? Obviously, both ways is in the mix. And anybody else?
Right. Well, I had not heard whether or not Mr. House has completed his petitions and turned them in yesterday. He would have had to. That was the last day, and so. But I do not know whether that occurred. He was trying. I know that he was trying to do it that way. I know he was collecting signatures.
How much is it? I mean, it's no secret that people go out and you have some volunteers, but you also go out with some professional
right. People
who are used to it and so forth. How much does it approximately cost to be able to get on the Republican ballot?
Well, it's a very wide array of prices, and I'll tell you how it happens.
Okay.
You start out with these firms, and usually you can get it for around $6 a signature, and that's
$6 a signature? Wow.
Yep. But that's what you're paying the firm.
Right.
They pay the signature collector
$1
something far less than that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do not know exactly what that might be.
It used to be $1.
I'm going to say $3 or $4.
Well, it's going
$3
up.
Anyway.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
And that's a valid signature, I assume.
That's exactly right, because you've got to get a valid signature. And they guarantee it for that price. They
right.
guarantee you that the signatures that you're going to get are those from registered Republicans, which is what you need in a Republican primary.
There you go.
Okay. Now, as the time limit approaches that you have to have everything turned in, oftentimes these guys come back and go, you know, it's just not happening as quickly as we'd like, and I'm kind of worried about it, and I think we better bump it up a little bit because we got to incentivize these guys to get a, and then if you get in really late, which poor Bob did.
Right.
They really take you to
the cleaners.
$16 signature.
Whoa, Nelly. And how many signatures do you need altogether?
You need 1,500 in each congressional district, but you have to collect more than that. You have
sure.
to collect probably 1,700 or 1,800, and because people, even though they tell you they are registered,
they're not.
A lot of times, or they have registered, they put down the house they're living in and not the house they're registered anymore because they moved, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And they signed Mickey Mouse,
So, but yeah, Bob said he had to pay $16 a signature and
turned in
20,000, 22,000. And now some of those were done, if that's right, he said on a press release yesterday saying he had 22,000 signatures turned in, and if that's the case, and say he got a couple of thousand of them done by volunteers,
right.
that's still what $300,000. I mean,
wow,
really? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we didn't. We paid $6.
Yeah, you got in early and played the mere
$6
bargain deal.
$6, and we got probably 9,000. Paid, and I'd say about 6,000 volunteers.
Oh, wow. That's a good...
Anyway, it's done, and God bless these people. I mean, it is tough work. I know it sounds easy, 1,500 signatures per district, but
right.
honest, Chuck, it is a hassle. And most of it has to be collected door-to-door, because if you just stand out in front of King Supers, only one out of... however many are actually
registered
in that district and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all done, thank goodness. And And we turned in plenty, so I'm relatively sure everything will be fine. Now, it is kind of a uneasy feeling when you're turning all of these petitions into to your Secretary of State, who's one of your opponents.
Scott, these are good, aren't they? Yeah,
I saw Scott Kessler at one of the events over the weekend, and I said, "Hey, how's it going? Why aren't you counting signatures instead of out here talking?" You know? And he goes, "You can't believe how many signatures you had. The people who are not even in this state."
I'm just going to have to throw the whole thing out. And if you don't make the number, is there any grace period, or that's it? You know, you didn't make the number, you don't make the number.
Well, you don't. Now, there is another option, and it is one that Mr. House might be planning on. And believe me, I don't know this for sure. He's not told me this, but it's the alternative that you have.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is kind of a crazy thing. You can, you know, the two ways to get on the ballot for the Republican
nomination.
One is going through the process I just described, getting the signatures.
Right.
The other is going through the caucus and then the assembly, which is the 12th of this month, I believe. And you know, that's where everybody got elected at their caucus and then their convention.
They go to the county and then they go to the state.
And then they go to the state. So you'll go there and you have to get 30% of the vote a minimum of 30% in order to be placed on the ballot.
Okay. Right.
Now there's a whole bunch of people doing it that way. You got Brophy, you got Mike Kopp, you got Scott Gessler, this lady whose name escapes me, but she just
valued opponent
a little bit ago. And then you could have Mr. House going, if he gets, if you get 10%, you have the ability, supposedly, to then try to get some signatures and get on. At least that's the way it used to be. But I don't know if it stayed, because I know some rules changed. At any rate, there's the possibility that if you didn't get your signatures, just go ahead and go to the
caucuses,
assembly, make a plea, and you might get 30%.
Yeah.
But look at all the people that are doing that. So it's going to be really one of the most interesting primaries, because there'll be, well, we assume at least two of us on via the petition route.
Right,
and then could be two or three on through the assembly. So we could end up with it's probably hard to get three, because you'd have to divide up 30, 30,
right, 30, 33, right.
So, but two anyway, very possible. So very possible to be four people on the ballot.
Well, that'll make it exciting.
Absolutely.
Now, are you going to do the caucus too, or you've done your deal and that's it?
Well, we'll be doing that my name will be on the ballot, but you then have the option to allow it to go forward and hope you get 30%, although you have not done anything in the process leading up to it, like encourage people to go to the caucus for you and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it's all the other guys are way ahead of you there. And so if we didn't get the signatures in, then we could, because my name will appear on the ballot, I could get up and make this plea and I know you all really want me type of thing. I know that all of you, we came here really and truly to support me, so now I'm going to give you that chance. But in fact, what will probably happen is, you know, we will be on the ballot and I will say, even though I know you really want me, go ahead and vote for somebody else.
Well, I wanted to do it once through the caucuses. In 2010, I went to my District 1 and got elected there, and then went to the county and got elected there, and then went to the state proceedings. And it was more fun, honestly. I had a great time doing it. And the crowd, you know, it was kind of a Tea Party year. So the crowd went wild, and when Scott McGinnis came, they all booed him.
Boo.
Boo. And then Dan Mays came.
It was a wild year.
Yeah, and then Dan Mays was beginning to implode, you know. I mean, hadn't totally imploded yet, but was beginning to implode.
Yeah.
And it was just a wild scene. And certainly the managers of the assembly were lost. I mean, they were just going, what's going on? We don't know.
Yeah, we've lost control of this puppy.
Yeah, this baby's gone. And so they just kind of threw anybody up there. And if you've never done it out there, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of interesting people. And you know, no one owned my vote, there. And so, you know, I talked to people and you know, I don't know what whackball candidates I ended up voting for, but I had a good time doing it. So it's,
you know, it is. And I tell people every time I go to caucus, and you know, a lot of times we just don't have enough people in the caucus to go to all of the events,
right,
and delegates.
Sure.
And I always tell them, look, you know, and they're sort of deferential many times and say, well, Tom, gee, you've been to all these things. And I always say, you guys, I've been to all of these things. You should go. I mean, I will gladly, you know, step out of any race for these for the caucus simply because if you haven't done it, you should do it. It is fun. Do it at least once.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
exactly.
And then you can see what it's like. And of course, you know, at the convention, well, it's funny because you have to call them, it's assemblies and off year convention in
the official
4 year
presidential
yeah.
one.
So,
yeah.
But so you go to the assembly and it is, all the hoopla, you know, each time somebody does get nominated, then they, you know, they have a big, usually anyway, they have a big, demonstration and everybody goes crazy and you get hold up posters and there's a lot of horn blowing and screaming and sort of thing. Now, as we're describing that, I can really hear, a lot of people listening to this thinking, are they crazy? Why the hell would you go to
the figured this out, huh?
That's a lot of junk. You know what I do worry about? There is so much apathy this year. More than, you know, you go to the door-to-door collecting signatures, as I said.
Right.
And the most common response is, if this has got something to do with politics, I don't want to touch it.
Well, it makes
away.
You feel good.
Yeah.
You're earning your $6 or $16 or whatever it is per signature.
Yeah, it really, that was the most common response. And I don't know, I think there's just a lot of people who are turned off by it. And, you know, like, I can understand that too.
Well, so you're in and both ways is in, and we'll have a couple more maybe for the assembly process. And
yep, there's a possibility of getting at least two more out of the assembly.
And so it'll just be wild and woolly from there.
Well, and the only thing is that, you know, it's good when you have, you know, a crowded field because, you know, people do get. You can't say I didn't have my choice, or you know, there
right.
will be certainly a choice of among the different candidates about their view of what the governorship should be all about. But it's just a costly thing too, you know. That, and that's the only part that I don't know. Certainly, I'm not looking forward to is
raising all
to
that
spend
money.
A lot of money in a primary that you will absolutely need in the general.
Right, right. And of course, the Democrats have a clear field for John Hickenlooper. So he's just stacking up the money in the meantime.
That's right. That's exactly right. It allows him the ability to just simply lay back in the weeds and wait. And then you've got CODA. You've got that... Colorado Democracy Alliance, you know, Tim Gill, Jared Polis.
Yahoo! Our folks.
And Pat Stryker, who have spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars since they started their activity about 8 or 9 years ago. And they're still there. And they still will be very active in it. But that's the thing the Democrats really do have over us.
They got a limitless well of things.
Their party is no more competent or capable than the Republicans, believe it or not.
Hard to believe that.
It is just they've got another party. They have a shadow party.
Right.
It's called CODA. that can do all of the things that, and they do them well. They're managed by very smart people who have all the money they could possibly want to spend on these kind of things. And so they are very strategic thinkers. And as I say, it's just something we do not have, and it puts us at a horrendous disadvantage.
I got to go in for a shoulder or an elbow operation, you know, and every time I go in, and I've had too many of these joint operations, I always see, you know, Stryker this and Stryker that for the medical stuff. I go, God,
yep.
no, I don't know what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what am I
contributing to
this?
I know what you mean. You know, we had to visit my son who had to spend a little time in the hospital, and while I was sitting there looking at, you know, sitting by his bed, I looked down. Oh, God.
Just amazing
Stryker.
Stuff.
Stryker.
Well, let me talk about, we were talking about.
She is a billionaire.
Well, isn't that nice? Isn't that sweet?
Yep.
And she gets to fund Bill Ritter's pension ripoff deal up in CSU, and it's just all just spreading the joy,
right,
throughout the state. And Tim Gill, I mean, they all seem to be bottomless pits of money. There's no limit to the thing. And who do the Republicans have? I mean, you know, we've got what, Larry Mizell, and which party is he really? I mean, you know, I mean,
that's for sure.
It's amazing stuff.
Everybody talks about Phil Anschutz, and you know, Phil is a very nice guy, but he is not a
big money spender,
massive contributor. Uh-uh. No,
and the Coors really are kind of. I mean, I know another Coors brother will pop up somewhere to run for something, but you know, they do, you know, Pete contributes, but once again, it's not he didn't contribute to his own campaign, much less anybody else's.
Yeah, no, we really don't have anything like it. And here's the thing, you know, the issue around which they formed and for which they decided they were going to spend their money and time is gay marriage, and because you know, they Stryker's brother is a homosexual, so
right.
So is
Tim Gill, and so is Jared Polis,
which is, you know, certainly fine. It's just that when you combine your sexual proclivity with your political ambition, and what I mean, it's a very, my point is, this is a very strong motivating force.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and they only care
about
that particular issue in particular. I mean, let's face it, when you and I've raised money for Republican candidates before, and anybody gives anyone wants to know what they get, you know, and the Republicans say, well, you know, I'm interested in this bill that helps me, and
I want lower taxes.
Yeah,
it's just
some.
Not the same. It doesn't have that same degree of oomph as when you're talking about your own sexuality.
Right, right, and so
there's a great deal of power behind that, and of course, people from across the country contribute for that reason,
right,
to their efforts,
right.
And so. You've got this enormously well-funded, and as I say, these folks that are running it, they are smart when they created it. Well, the book, you know,
yeah.
Everybody should get the book called
The Blueprint.
The Blueprint.
Right. That spells it all out, and it's very well written. And when you finish that, you kind of go, how do the Republicans ever win anything?
Ever going to win anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember, but 2004 and you know, these pathetic Republican efforts at raising, you know, 100 here, 1,000 here, you know, total 100,000. And behind the scenes, now that I read the book, you know, Tim Gill and Bells, they're putting in millions in. And the poor Republicans are like, oh, wow, we've broke our record. they're just about to get squashed and have been gotten squashed ever since then. It's amazing process. Well, how much money do you think?
And I know there is nothing that's illegal. Everything was perfectly legal that they did. The creation of all these different 527s and PACs and 501c3s, each of them designed to do a particular thing, go after Republicans. And never was the issue of gay marriage ever even mentioned.
Oh, no.
They even supported Democrats who were opposed to gay marriage because they were simply trying to change the political makeup of the legislature and the governor's office. And they did. In 4 years, just two cycles, we went from a state that had two Republican U.S. senators, five out of seven members of the Congress, a Republican governor, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and almost every Republican and almost every elected official statewide, we went from that to exactly the mirror opposite.
And even though Republicans still have a registration advantage.
Yeah,
which is shocking. I mean, we have a registration advantage, but they're great. I mean, you know, so
they're great. They had a get out the vote plan that was absolutely, again, brilliant.
And
they
opposition research.
To go door to door to identify voters, and my neighbor across the street was a registered independent. During the last election cycle, there were four different visits to his home. by people, you know, trying to get him registered, making sure he got registered, taking a ballot to them. And now they've so watered down the process for voting that, I mean, you've got universal mail-in ballot and
right.
same-day registration and no requirement for a certification of your address. I mean, this is going to be... Why am I doing this?
Yeah,
Chuck?
Why are
that?
You running?
What the heck is this?
You're
like
insane.
Crazy? You can't
You're
win.
Insane. Well, how much money do you think you need to get through the primaries?
Well, the primary, we are not going to spend very much at all. I mean, it's and one reason is because we have an advantage. I have an advantage over some of these guys anyway.
With
most
name
of it
recognition.
Is a name recognition factor that is. Kept us right now. Even we are still leading the pack, and you know it is surely a lot of that is name recognition. So I recognize that. So you know we are not going to spend. I'm sure what other folks will be spending in this because we're going to rely a lot on that. And but if you know if we have to pump more than $100,000 into a primary, that is going to be a very tough thing to do because you have to use the money that you collect to raise the money you need. You
right.
know what I mean? You have to
right.
spend it on mail. You spend it on call. You have to a whole bunch of costs that are incurred to raise the money.
Right.
So if you spend
right.
it all in the primary, you don't have anything left to
raise
seed money to start the general. It becomes very difficult. In the general, you're talking about at least a $5 million race. Now,
how much did you spend last time?
I spent $1.2 million, I think, but remember, I only had 11 weeks.
Wow. Okay, it squandered it all.
I didn't have a primary, and I only had 11 weeks to get the money and run a race.
Right.
Yeah, but I think it was $1.2 million. But this one will be significantly more, of course.
Oh, this is gonna be exciting. Now, I've got to take a break, but I want to. Could you stay for another segment?
Yes, sir.
Because I want to ask you about Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
What you do about that when you become governor, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is becoming my most hated group ever these days.
Brother.
But
yeah.
But I know you were back in Washington. You must have known Tom Donahue and the whole crew. So we got all that coming up with Tom Tancredo. But right now we'll go to a commercial break.
Try to drive out across these highways, a lot of congestion to fight through, and a new problem. This report brought to you by Champion Windows. Car stalled out southbound I-25 at the Downing Bridge, backing up toward Broadway. Slow drive up from Castle Rock, northbound I-25, stop and go, pushing up to Lincoln Avenue. Hit delays on its bridges. 6th Avenue packs in from Wadsworth and a wreck 13th and Lafayette. Don't miss Champion Windows spring sale going on now. Save $1,200 off Comfort 365 windows, $1,000 off siding projects, 20% off your last roof. Visit GetChampion.com. I'm Susan Thielen, 710 KNUS, first alert traffic.
The latest in academia is porn studies. That is correct, porn studies. So here's the question. What year do you predict that your child will be able to major in porn studies at $40,000 or $50,000 a year? Plus, the Ultimate Issues Hour, the latest news, and more on the next Dennis Prager Show.
Dennis Prager, weekdays from 11 to 1 on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Healthcare reform is here. With it, your business must deal with the increased complexities and burdens of rising costs, taxes, government regulation, and risk. Insperity takes care of all of this and more. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. If you're worried about healthcare reform, discover Insperity's unique workforce optimization solution, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Insperity is ready for healthcare reform. Are you? For an executive briefing on healthcare reform from an Insperity Business Performance Advisor, call 1-866-210-7415. One call to Insperity can help your company run better, grow faster, and make more money. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is Dan Kaplis. I've been representing seriously injured people in Colorado and across America for 30 years. And I believe that how your claim gets treated by the insurance company often depends on who you choose to represent you. Insurance companies are often unfair, but they're not stupid. They know who the serious firms are, the firms with the legal firepower, the staff, the resources, and the will to take your case to trial and win if the insurance company refuses to pay a full and fair settlement. Our firm was recently named one of the best law firms in America by U.S. News and World Report. We've successfully handled virtually every type of serious injury and death case, and we pride ourselves on making the vast resources of our firm available to good people from every walk of life by taking righteous cases on a percentage fee basis. If you'd like our help, give me a call, 303-770-5551, or go to DanKaplisLaw.com. That's DanKaplisLaw.com.
Hey, Jim, come on in.
Bill, this is such a great house.
Thanks. 3 beds, 2 baths, and wait till you see the pool.
How'd you get the down payment?
We didn't have to. We called NASA Federal Credit Union at 855-371-NASA and got a zero-down fixed-rate mortgage with no private mortgage insurance on a jumbo loan.
You must be saving hundreds a year with no PMI.
More like thousands. And with no money down, we were able to add the pool. And it was fast. We got pre-qualified online in seconds and closed our loan within 30 days guaranteed. If you're buying a home, you gotta call NASA Federal at 855-371-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/FM94.
Wow, with zero down and no PMI, we could buy that house Jen likes and furnish it too. But you don't work for NASA.
You don't have to work for NASA to get a mortgage with NASA Federal. Just call 1-855-371-NASA or visit nasafcu.com/FM94.
Thanks for the tip. Now can I see the pool?
Equal housing lender. Offer valid on approved credit for primary residences. Membership eligibility required. For more details about credit cost terms and conditions, call 855-371-NASA.
Radio counts. Count on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Back, Chuck Bonneville in for Peter Boyles. He should be back tomorrow, just a little under the weather. We've got with us Tom Tancredo. Tom running for governor, got his signatures in, is ready to kind of proceed ahead for the primary and hopefully, in his case, for the governorship. Tom, now the one thing in a lot of states, there's been a uproar over Common Core. Not so much Colorado, but throughout the country there has been. Certainly, 45 states plus the District of Columbia adopted it, and then Indiana got rid of it a week ago, and Oklahoma is considering getting rid of it. What's your stand on Common Core?
Yeah, no, I would follow my old colleague Mike Pence, his lead in Indiana. I served with him for a long time in the Congress. He's a great governor and has led Indiana, I think, in the right direction, which is away from Common Core. I certainly would try to do the same thing. We need some legislative support in that endeavor. But what we need more, Chuck, more than that, is we need choice. We need greater choice for people, for parents in this system. And if we can provide that, you begin to actually solve these other sort of dilemmas that you face where curricula is developed by entities that really and truly do not have, from my point of view anyway, the best interests of kids at heart. They are social engineers first, educators way down the list someplace. And but with choice, I think you begin to develop a marketplace where in which things like Common Core will not be accepted. They will not be picked. They will not be opted for by parents because most parents, I think, want something different for their children. They want them to be able to be numerate and literate when they exit the system. They want them to have a pretty good understanding of what it means to live in this republic. And that, of course, is not part of Common Core or any of these other faddish type of curricula.
But what's so great about Common Core, or what they've done, part of this evil plot, is that now have both ACT and now the SAT is going to have their tests, which basically follow Common Core. So if you want to get into college and you've been actually getting a good education and so forth, but you haven't read the latest Toni Morrison novel on some sicko deal, then you're not, quote unquote, college material. I mean, it's amazing how they've managed to kind of weed their way into all aspects of education. So all of a sudden you're taking your SAT, and you haven't done Common Core your time, and then who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And everybody gets into this I'm sure that, you had all these governors who were participating, and I do not believe that every one of them and thought, now what are we going to do here to really screw this system up a little better than we've done, a little more so. I think they were all came to it with different opinions, different ideas, but generally these things are pushed by academicians and by people inside, for instance, the U.S. Department of Education and others that are education bureaucrats. Again, many of them with, quote, good intentions, but many of them with a completely different idea about what education should be and it should be for our kids. And so you've got this sort of combination of efforts that all evolve into something pretty ugly, and I think that is what Common Core is all about. And
well, the governors had no idea, I think, most of them, no offense, are idiots, but most of them kind of like, I don't know, they hadn't even seen the one. Bill and Melinda Gates funded it, and they had all these guys from ACT, SAT, and other testing ones, and they'd already approved it before they even knew what it was. No one knew what it was.
I think that's probably true. I think it was a lot of folks thought it was something that should be done. Sounded good.
Yeah,
on your
resume. Great.
As a governor.
Yeah.
I participated in developing a common core for all of our kids that will help them in the, blah, blah, blah.
Compete for the 21st century jobs. Yeah.
Rosy terms as you want. It's all junk.
Right.
It's junk science that goes into the development of it, and it is certainly, when you start talking about civic education, it's laughable. The idea, first of all, that kids have to stop reading nonfiction and concentrate start reading more nonfiction,
right,
scientific journals or whatever,
because
it gets you away then from some of the classics in Western literature and Western civilization.
Dead white men wrote those. Old dead white men wrote those.
Yeah, old dead white men.
Yeah.
And, this is, there are motivations behind this that are certainly not pure, and they are designed to change the way kids think about this country, their place, their role in it, and the role of America in the world.
And their own sexuality and everything else. They sold it saying, this is just English literacy and math. And all of a sudden you get these books that basically, okay, masturbation, this is how you do it. And as Peter said, no one had to teach him. It wasn't part of the curriculum. English, English arts, sexuality, boom, and there you're there. I mean, it's these idiot governors, honestly, there's some of them who keep on backing it. It's a great idea. And they have no idea what they're talking about. None. Fallon in Oklahoma.
Jeb Bush says, man, this is great. We're going to continue to push it. But, that is why, Chuck, one thing that I absolutely want to do if I am governor is push for a standard. And, we presently have a Republican majority on the State Board of Education. Now, it has not flexed its muscles very much, but we actually have a majority that I hope stays that way on the board, and I hope we can work with to develop a new standard that has to be in place. And it is simply stated that every child graduating from school in this state must be able to articulate an appreciation for Western civilization, for American exceptionalism, and for the Constitution of the United States.
Oh, wow. That'd be different than the one they're developing over at Common Core.
That's for sure. And what a great debate to have over the implementation of that.
Right,
I relish the opportunity to debate that issue with the governor or with the CEA, the teachers union, and all the people that are opposed to such an idea. What, you know, they say? What? Are you some sort of chauvinist
racist pig
suggesting that America is actually a better place to be than anywhere else? Yes. The answer to that is yes. And it's empirically provable. This is not subjective. As I remember my old boss Bill Bennett used to say, when you open the gates all over the world, people only run one way, and that is a pretty good indicator that there is something better they're going to. People don't leave hearth, home, kith, or kin to go to something as good or worse. They only leave all of that for something better. We have it. We have to maintain it, because if you do not teach children what is good about this country, instead of all of the stuff that they read constantly about, you know, how about the negative things.
Right.
And I don't mean to whitewash this. I don't mean that children should not be told about the problems we have had. But you know what? In comparison to what we've accomplished, in comparison to what we have provided for so many millions, that, you know, those problems pale in comparison to the great things America has done and the idea of a republic and what those founders did, how they put it together. Yeah, I want to debate this, whether or not kids should be taught that and taught to actually appreciate it.
That'd be a great debate with Hickenlooper, who's head of the NGA.
I can't wait, man.
He's head of the NGA this year and I assume is a Common Core supporter. That would be a great debate.
It certainly would, and I intend to make it a very important part of our agenda and of our campaign. I mean, because for one thing, it is a responsibility of the state. You know, so many things really aren't, and yet the government gets involved. But this one is. I mean, the Constitution talks about providing a free, thorough, and uniform system of education. And that doesn't mean, however, you have to own the system. It doesn't mean that you have to build the buildings, hire the teachers, and determine the curriculum.
Right.
You know? And so, yes, you can provide choice. And here's another thing I want to debate. I want to debate whether or not Hickenlooper agrees that if you are a child who is from a family that is below the poverty line or locked in a school that is failing, that you should be forced to stay there because you're too poor to make any other choice. I want to just go ahead and debate that. Why we can't at least give kids in those circumstances a key to that door called a voucher. Tell me why it is so important to keep them locked into a government school system. You know, well, I know why they want to, because, of course, they want to determine how those kids view the world, as we just got done explaining.
Well, you know, Tom, if the Republicans are going to have a chance this election to take the governor's office, it will be based on the fact that there's a debate and John Hickenlooper hits the floor. And that's why I'm kind of backing you. I mean, you're the guys willing to debate it. Is Bob Beaupre? I remember going to a debate with him and Mark Holtzman back in the day. He refused to debate Holtzman after a while. These are the issues that somebody's going to have to really articulate and really pound away to be able to win. Because if nothing changes, then the incumbent wins.
That's right. And, you know, it's one of the strangest phenomena in politics is, to me, has always been this idea that if you have a natural disaster in your state and if your governor shows up and you know, flies over in a helicopter.
You're in great shape.
Yeah, all of a sudden his numbers go way up. They always think, what is this guy? You know, he cuts the ribbon when the road is going to be repaired.
Puts your arm around one or two kind of
guitar.
Yeah, yeah, it is amazing.
So his numbers are up. He is now over 50% in approval.
Yeah,
and all of us that are running against him are behind him.
Sure,
in the polls, not by much, but 3 or 4 points.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this will not be an easy race, not for anybody. And I always, you know, certainly hear all the time, "Wow, you are Tom. You're just so polarizing.
Yeah,
you're so controversial." Well, if you think for a minute that CODA is going to let any Republican who is nominated slide, you're crazy.
We'll find things about every single
one of us.
Yeah, we'll find things about Bob we never knew.
Oh, brother. You know, I mean, everyone, no matter who,
who
you
Scott
are,
yourself,
you know as well as I do, with enough money and with enough power behind the advertising that you do, you can create a pretty horrible picture of just about anybody.
Right, right.
They will do so. Now, the one thing for me is they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. You're kind of, you know, almost bulletproof because you've been hit by so many bullets. Well, let me ask you something else. I understand where the left comes from. I understand where the NEA comes from. I understand where the SAT and ACT come from. Tell me, where does the U.S. Chamber come from? I mean, whether it's Amnesty or Common Core or any other subject, I mean, it's just amazing, and it's got to be run by Tom Donohue. I mean, I belong to a chamber, and we used to belong to the U.S. Chamber. We kind of go, we don't like this. And they go, you know, send us $400,000 or $5 million to lobby on something. We'll listen to you. But it's amazing that the U.S. Chamber is hated by Democrats because it's supported Republicans for a long time, and now it's hated by the entire base of the Republican Party. Who do they have left that don't hate them?
Yeah, a good question. I guess just the major funders. So what motivates them? Well, again, people come to these things for different sets of reasons, but certainly with regard to immigration, it's a pretty common approach by almost all of the people with the U.S. Chamber, and that is cheap labor.
That's interesting. How about Common Core? Tell me why they're
Common
spending
Core.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do they just buy the BS? Is that what it is?
I think, again, you know, this is it's something sold at a level, when you're talking about all the governors, that entices people like those who make up the chamber and the leadership of the chamber. They want to be in that circle. You know what I mean?
These are
the elitists. And they are absolutely devoted to elitism. and so they want to participate at that level and in that kind of activity. And also, a lot of them, again, you know, it's different reasons, I think, for a lot of these folks that are there. Some of them, again, just listen to the rhetoric and go, oh, sure, we need to have this workforce that is well-educated. But in reality, what they're looking for is a lot of them is simply the automaton that comes to work every day and doesn't, you know, ask any questions.
That's what we all want.
Workers. We want workers. and you know what we need? How we need them educated? I need them educated well enough to read a manual. And beyond that, in terms of especially things like civic education, they couldn't care less.
No.
Their bottom line is their bottom line, so to speak. And so they look at everything that way, and they really don't look past that in terms of what it means for the country.
No, they don't care, do they?
Most of them think of themselves as the nation. They are the nation.
Or at least they're citizens of the world. Now, I've heard, you know, my father was the CEO, but he always put, you know, always thought of himself as an American first. I talked to some CEOs saying, you know, it's I see myself as a citizen of the world. You know, you piece of garbage. I like to exploit children in Guatemala as well as southern China.
Is my market anywhere beyond the United States? If it is, well, that's where my interests are. They are worldwide. They are not bound by any sort of of country boundary itself. They do look at the world that way. It is an economic environment. Well, a lot of Chuck. Now, look, I remember meeting you first at a very libertarian event when I was running for Congress.
That's right.
And God knows I love libertarians, but you know, to a large extent, they have that same opinion about what markets mean. I mean,
right.
For them, boundaries, national boundaries.
Tom, can I get you? I love this discussion. Can I hold you over one more time?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks. Got to take a cut for make some money here.
Slowdowns continue for this morning's drive. This four brought to you by Champion Windows. Late problem in the drive with the car that stalled southbound I-25 at the Downing Bridge. You're heavy from Broadway down to Colorado. Southbound 225 still at stop and go from Parker Road into the Tech Center. Westbound I-76 getting over to the I-25 merge. Crash. Eastbound Hamden at Federal. Don't miss Champion Windows spring sale going on now. Save $1,200 off Comfort 365 windows, $1,000 off siding project, 40% off your last roof. Visit getchampion.com. I'm Susan Phelan, 710 KNUS. First Alert Traffic.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Look, talking about how much money you spend a month on your mortgage. Ideal Home Loans, where the mission is to help you live the American dream through personalized mortgage loans and refinancing options. Ideal Home Loans keeps their customers' goals and their concerns first. They're a full-service mortgage lender, experienced staff offering expertise in every area of mortgage lending, from purchase to refinancing to construction loans. Ideal has access to a full range of mortgage products customized to fit your one and only situation. Nothing cookie cutter about these people. The staff is dedicated to finding the best loan product at the best rate. Referrals and service and quality, secrets to their success. Give Brent a call, 303-867-7000. 303-867-7000 on the internet, idealhomeloans.com. Call them now. Get your questions answered. 303-867-7000. Make the call now. Hi, it's Peter Boyles. I've been talking about Get Found Fast on the radio now for months. I've known these guys for years. If you run a business, you get the calls every day from people selling the promise of getting found on Google. Kenny Marks is with me, and in Denver, these guys are the guys. They've found and helped tons of local businesses. And Kenny, how do you get found fast?
Pete, we're located right here in Denver, so we start by sitting with you in person for a full website analysis to show you your company's internet presence, including your website, your Google rank, social media, even your competition, and why they're beating you. We assess your company's needs and show you what to do to get found on the web. We're going to leave you with great information your business can use.
These are the guys for local business owners. If your website is old, your customers can't find you on the internet, you call them at 303-952-4900. It's a free analysis. You get this information. Help grow your business. Remember, it's free. You go out and talk to them free. 303-952-4900. It's time for your business to getfoundfast.com.
Getfoundfast.com.
Hi, this is Amy Duncan at Alpine Planning Group. Are you wondering what will come next in these uncertain financial times we live in? The unanswered questions, the unstable financial and political conditions, the noise every day about the next big market decline. Stop worrying. Stop making emotional decisions about your money. At Alpine Planning Group, we're committed to building and managing the best financial planning strategies for our clients on an individual basis. We're the local partner that you can trust to navigate these markets and build you a plan that will get you not only to, but through retirement. It isn't just about market returns anymore. It's about managing income streams, navigating the jungle of Social Security, health care, pensions, tax efficiency. Call us today for an introductory meeting and ask your questions to see if Alpine Planning Group can help you in the most important decision you'll make. Alpine Planning Group, 303-843-0918. That's 303-843-0918. Local, experienced, focused. 303-843-0918.
This is David Menno, co-host of Bird Talk Radio. My brother Scott and I would like to invite you to join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on 710 KNUS. Every Saturday, we discuss Colorado's wildlife and wild birds. Find out how to attract more birds more often for more fun. Watching backyard birds is a fascinating activity. Tune in to this certified bird feeding specialist, David and Scott Menno, every Saturday at 8 a.m. for Bird Talk right here on 710 KNUS, and let us show you how to set up the best backyard wildlife habitat. Bird Talk is sponsored by Wild Birds Unlimited, the best nature shop in the known universe for finding the greatest variety of high-quality bird feeding supplies. Wild Birds Unlimited introduced the U.S. to the one-stop nature shop concept over a third of a century ago and is the premier bird feeding supply headquarters. Stop in for reliable advice and top-quality products from trusted local experts. So find out what all the chirping is about on Bird Talk, Saturdays from 8 to 9, right here on 710 KNUS.
When someone you love is seriously ill, you want to honor their wishes. When their wish is to stay home, VITAS Innovative Hospice Care can help. VITAS brings care to patients at home or even in a nursing home. From Boulder to Denver and Castle Rock, VITAS serves the Colorado Front Range. Call 1-877-647-1145 or log on to vitasdenver.com. That's VITASdenver.com.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. This is Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right, Chuck Bono in for Peter. Peter should be back tomorrow, and we're with Tom Tancredo. He's got all his signatures in and should be on the ballot. And we're talking about the U.S. Chamber and other evil groups. I just asked to ask you, Tom, did you ever meet Tom Donahue?
Yes, I did.
You know,
I mean, it was not in a setting where we had the opportunity to have a lot of discussion, just
a big
meeting type of thing, but yeah.
I know all these people who belong to kind of regional groups of Chamber of Commerce to go back to Washington to kind of meet with the representative, and then they also go over to the headquarters of the Chamber, which is, you know, quite ornate.
Palatial.
Yeah, very palatial and so forth, and they, you know, anxious to meet Tom. He wouldn't even come out of the office to say hello. they weren't part of the elite, I guess. I mean, these are kind of, you know, not small chamber groups, but they weren't part of the Fortune 500 companies. So he wouldn't even come out of his office to spit on them.
Tell him if it makes him feel any better. He would not come out of his office to meet me either, and I was a member of Congress. So not feel bad.
Don't feel bad. They're to help you. You know, I talked to some idiot at the chamber the other day. We have an 80% approval rating, and say, well, you won't have that one for very much longer. I can promise you that, because where you guys are going is not going to be a good place. You can spend all your money, but if you have one party that hates you and the base of another party that hates you, you know, eventually that's going to catch up to you.
What a nice thing to know, if you, especially the Democrats, that when you talk about issues like immigration reform, you have this powerful ally on, quote, the other side.
Yeah.
And that is the chamber they were as big a problem for me as any Democrat, that's for sure, any Democrat opposition I had. They would go to the leadership all of the time and demand that, you know, they shut me up, stop talking about this stuff, stop pushing these issues. And of course, when it comes to contributions to your campaign, we have, Chuck, I want to tell you something that is just so wonderful.
So just between the two of us.
Yeah, just between the two of us here. We have right now over 8,000 contributors to our governor campaign.
Wow.
And now, these are mostly, you know, at the 50. I have the highest percentage, and always did, every time I ran for Congress, I had the highest percentage of small donors of anybody, any congressman running in the state. And I love that. I really do. That makes me feel good. And even now, that's got to be three or four times as many. After, I think, the end of the month here, April, we have to all report. And it'll say, sometimes they report it in the paper, how many contributors we have. And I bet you I have four times more than the nearest one of my competitors.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean that they won't have more money than I will.
Yeah. Well, it only takes, you know, one of those big CODA people, the equivalent of one of those, to kind of tip the scales.
Well, that's it. I mean, you can give $1,100, and if you have, you know, all you have to have find is a lot of really very wealthy people that can give you, like, say, $2,200 per family,
right?
Husband and wife or spouse, and so you can build that up pretty quickly if you can get enough of those. I don't get those. I get much, much smaller donations, but nonetheless, 8,000. I just am I marvel at that. It is. I'm humbled by it. It is really. That's amazing.
Well, Tom, I hope they keep on giving because they're probably not clear near the limit, so they can keep on.
Yeah, no, they're not near the limit for the most part.
So you folks out there can keep on giving. Well, it's great to have you on. It's always great to talk with you. Always great insights I get when I talk with you. And best of luck with the campaign.
Well, thank you, and my best to you and your lovely wife.
Okay.
I saw her the other day over at Fox 31, and we had a great discussion.
Oh, good. All right. Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.